You are now listening to episode 426 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What's going on, my friends? Welcome back to another Flip Empire Masterclass here. I got a really special, unique one. So a couple of months ago, we went live on Facebook with two gentlemen that are just a big part of my life. One of them is a childhood friend, Armando Cruz, somebody who I have known since I was 4 or 5 years old. He's an entrepreneur in a different space. And then the second gentleman is Huang, who is my life coach and somebody who I've been working with for the better part of a decade. Anyways, long story short, we got on a live and we started talking about how to improve your health, your wealth, and your time. And these guys bring a lot of unique insight and perspective because they're entrepreneurs in different industries. And by the way, it's I'm recording this while my daughters are on my lap. So my little one here wants to say something about the Flip Empire Show.
Flip Empire Show.
No, sweetheart, get ready for the Flip Empire Show.
Get ready for the Flip Empire.
So that's Alessia. Her birthday is in a couple of days. She's going to be 3 years old. Yes, couple of days. Okay, let me finish the introduction here. And here's Ariana. So my friends, I definitely encourage you to listen. This was actually, we went about an hour and a half on this Facebook Live, and there was so much wisdom and knowledge shared by Armando and Huang. So really encourage you to plug in. My apologies for some of the background noise. I wanted them to be a part of this. Check it out. I'm looking forward to diving into this masterclass. Have a great one. What's going on, everyone? How are you? Welcome to another live. So this is my seventh live, and this is a unique one. This is a special one because I have two gentlemen who mean a lot to me, people that are very, very close. And so, guys, before we get going here, I'm getting a notification here on my end that on one of the groups, perfect, we're good. So guys, again, welcome back to another live here. I want to kind of set the stage and give some context as to the two gentlemen I have here, Juan Carlos and Armando, why they're on here, because these gentlemen are not in the real estate investing space. They are entrepreneurs in completely different industries. And one of the things that I think I shared with you guys when I was putting this out there is that I think oftentimes our real estate investor community is boxed into just networking, masterminding, and connecting with people in our industry. And I think there's a lot of value and insight and perspective to be had from masterminding, networking with entrepreneurs in different spaces. It's kind of that saying that sometimes you can't see the forest from the trees or whatever that saying is. Armando and Juan, let me just kind of, again, set the stage. Armando and I have known each other, Armando, since we were what, 4 years old?
I think kindergarten.
Yeah, so kindergarten. So we've known each other 35 years or whatever it's been. And he is, he's probably my longest friend. And we've just maintained a close relationship throughout the years. School together, elementary, middle school, high school, played sports together. Our families know each other. And, he got started around entrepreneurship around the same, more or less the same time I did, 2005, six, around there. And I'll kind of let Armando share his intro and his backstory. And then it's interesting, in 2010, if you guys have been listening to the Flip Empire Show for any length of time, you've probably heard me mention a few times how 2009, I got hit with an envelope from the IRS that was about half an inch thick.
And these gentlemen know the story very, very well, but I found out that by 2006, 7, and 8 taxes had never been filed. And that's a long, long story, which we'll get into another time. And I was in the tune of debt to the IRS of over 6 figures. And it was a really, really tough time in my life. Well, Armando introduced me to Juan. Juan is a life coach, marriage counselor, entrepreneur. I mean, the list goes on and on. His resume is very impressive, as is Armando's. And I started working with Juan in 2010, 11, more or less. And he started coaching me on a one-on-one basis. And I give these two gentlemen a lot of credit for me getting past that season in my life. You know, sometimes Tony Robbins always talks about your mess is your message. And without that experience, I don't think I'd be where I am today. And these two gentlemen had a huge, huge role in that. So again, Juan and Armando, these guys know pretty much everything about me. There isn't much I haven't shared with them. So with that being said, Mando, let me kick it over to you for a quick 2 to 3 minute introduction about yourself. Tell people, you know, who you are, why they should be listening to us. And then guys, I'm going to kick it over to Juan, and then we're going to get into, you know, how to improve your health, your wealth, and time. And Juan and Armando have very unique insight and perspective because of their experience, their background, the business they're in. And I think this is going to be extremely valuable for everybody listening. So Mando, take it away, my man.
All right, man. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's always great. You know, we get to do this once a week, and it's going to be a cool experience to bring everyone into some of the conversations that we have. But a little bit about my background, I like to say I'm a connoisseur of experiences. I really
that sounds so fancy.
Yeah. I really believe one of the most valuable things we can experience in our life is taking these experiences and really immersing yourselves. And so I try to live my life as a connoisseur of experiences. I'm a husband of going on 14 years. I have 3 kids. My wife and I run a fitness and physical therapy studio. I'm a best-selling author. And all that to say that this actually all started because of Alex. And the reason is, I remember before, like when we first, Alex and I went to school from kindergarten all the way through college. And we were in the same schools pretty much the entire time. And I remember I was doing one of my rotations in physical therapy school, doing my master's, and this is around 2005. And Alex called me. I was in Orlando doing that internship. I was living on my own there, and he calls me. He goes, "I started my own company." I was like, "What do you mean?" Like, to me, that, you know, that was so far removed, because if you rewind back 4 years earlier when we were in undergrad, I don't know if you remember this, Alex, but Alex was studying business at that time. And I remember he was talking about, you know, becoming a CEO and running this company and being a multimillionaire. Like, he's always had these aspirations. And I remember I told him, I said, "I hate business. Just give me the people. I'll fix them. I don't want to deal with any paperwork. I don't want to deal with anything." And so there was a big shift by that point when I went and I started doing my master's. And Alex called me and he said, "Hey, I started my own company." And I remember I asked him all these questions. "Oh, but how did you do that? That seems like really overwhelming." He goes, "No, man, you go here." He walked me through it. And I think it took me like 2 or 3 days. And then I'm like, "Well, crap, if Alex can do it, I can do it." Oh,
what are you talking about? What a backhanded compliment.
So actually, because Alex, I guess, had the courage to kind of break the ice there, I actually looked into it and I said, "No, you know what? I think it's almost as if he gave me the permission." It's like, "No, wait, I know somebody that started his company that is my age. And if he can do it, there's a message that I want to share with this world. So why not do it under my umbrella?" And I remember going and I started doing it. And it was like such a huge, huge relief when I finally like hit submit and I got the LLC. And I remember calling him. I'm like, "Oh, dude, I did it now." And he goes, "Now what?" I goes, "I have no idea, but I did it."
You're going to figure it out from here, right?
Right, exactly. So there was no business plan. There was no nothing other than the fact that I submitted the paperwork. I got out my own bank account for the company, and I felt like I started getting credit cards for the company, which was good and bad.
I get it.
But sorry, so that was the that's a little bit of the background.
Yeah, awesome. And then, guys, really quick, one thing that I was that I forgot to mention is that I've been masterminding with Juan and Armando every single Wednesday morning, pretty much every single Wednesday morning for about 6 years. So every Wednesday at 8 a.m., we hop on a call and we share what's going on in our life and or business. And then the other two pour into the one that's speaking. And we do that on a weekly basis. So, you know, you've heard me talk a lot about the importance of, we lost Juan, but I'm sure he'll hop right back on. I've talked about a lot in the past, the importance of just your network and the people you surround yourself with, your inner circle, the people you mastermind with. And these two gentlemen are obviously guys that I connect with on a weekly basis. So, Juan, good to have you back, man. Before I go to you, Mando, tell people a little bit about your background as far as in health and science and you know, what you do and how you help people.
Okay. So what it is that I do and what I've been doing. So my wife and I run a fitness and physical therapy studio here in Miami. And one of the big things that we realized is that where we create magic is helping people who've been suffering from chronic pain for most of their life or for a year or more. They've sought to try and get rid of it. Nothing's been successful. That's where our system and our approach has really proved to be magical. In fact, that's usually one of the things that people say. They're like, hey, like, how have I been going through all these doctors, all these practitioners, and then they come to us and then it's like, wait, in a span of 30 to 60 minutes, you've gotten rid of more pain than anyone ever, and you've barely even touched me. How is that even possible? And so our big thing is being able to help people optimize what we call the seven healths. One of them very often comes from pain. That's usually how most people come and see us. They're struggling with pain. And then we start peeling back the layers of the seven healths. And I'm sure we're going to get into that based off the topics, but yep. Essentially my wife and I help help people optimize their seven healths and eliminate pain.
I love it. I love it. Well, Juan, batter up. So I want to just let people know that, you know, I'm so grateful to both of you guys because you guys have poured into my life and my business throughout the years. And I was in a pretty dark time in my life. If you remember back in 2009-10, I felt like I was drowning in debt to the IRS and credit cards and stuff. And a lot of mistakes I made along the way that I learned from. And you gave me a big shovel. Now I was the one doing the lifting, right? But you helped me to see and find the shovel. So with that said, go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone.
Great. It's great to be with you guys. These guys are a tremendous lift for me every week. You know, they keep me accountable, and that's always so good to have somebody to be accountable to and to be working with. And these guys are great for that. What do I do? I've been working with business. Well, let me give you a little background. I started in the coaching industry because of my wife at the time was diagnosed with cancer, and I was in networking, networks and systems installation, all technology. And the time that it was consuming me was too much to spend time to take care of her. So I started looking for something that would allow for me to work from home and at the same time be able to provide for the family. And coaching came across, and I wasn't aware that I had been doing coaching for so many years before that was my passion and that's what I wanted to do. And that's how I started helping people in different areas. My main area of concentration right now is business. I work in three specific areas. I find that businesses right now, especially now, they need to improve their marketing, improve their systems and process so that marketing takes effect, and change their mindset to cross over to that realm of what they want and what they're looking for. So I work with corporations. I've worked in the United States, Canada, in Latin America, and work with large corporations, working with teams and working at the corporate level. And what I'm passionate about is the small business. I work with small businesses working with their teams and structuring their businesses so that they can get set for the growth that they want. A lot of people want to grow their business, but they don't have a structure. They don't have a system. They don't have the what it takes for you to sustain that growth that you're looking for. And it's not often that you hear about a company that went under, not because they didn't have the sales or the income that they needed, but because they didn't have the cash flow, or they couldn't produce the results that that the clients were paying for. So that's the area I work in, setting up that structure all the way from increasing their sales to restructuring their people and having the right people in the right seats so that they can move faster and quicker.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's very interesting, Juan, because you are somebody that you work with large corporations and you also work with small business owners. So you kind of see both sides of the gamut, right?
Yes. And for me, it's been incredible because one of the biggest lies that we get as small businesses is that a lot of 80% of what's being taught about corporations is geared towards large corporations. And so people buy the books, buy the programs, buy all this, and then they try to implement it and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work because it was never meant for you. It was meant for, you know, large corporations. And I've seen that. I've seen that where things that I work with larger clients, I got to like translate it into the smaller business so that it does function. Because you got a corporation that has a budget that's way bigger than our smaller companies. And you, so you can't expect to do the same things that they're doing. You got to, you know, bring it to your level and be able to function. And that's in one end. The other end is that I have three niche markets. You know, the small companies that I work with in group settings, the mid-sized company where I work, you know, in their companies, and then the corporations where I do a lot of training and facilitating.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. And again, you bring a very unique insight because of all the business owners and businesses that you work with. Well, gentlemen, I want to start to kind of transition now. Obviously, you know, we're 40 days or so into this, you know, pandemic. This obviously has flipped our world upside down. And it took, I don't know about you guys, it took me a good probably 2 to 3 weeks to really adjust and kind of find my footing. Initially, it's interesting. We were on a mastermind call yesterday, and we were talking about like the different stages of grief, right? And grieving. And I've talked to a lot of people that initially they were like shocked, and then it was like confusion, and then it was anger. And so for me, it's taken me a little bit, but I feel like I've just come to accept it that, hey, this is our new reality. And it's critical that entrepreneurs learn to, the word is pivot, right? Or adjust or adapt or transition. What are you guys seeing, Armando? I'll kind of go to you here. What are you seeing in the health and fitness space, the clients that you work with? And then just speaking generally, obviously you're a father, a big topic in the mastermind yesterday. It wasn't just about business, but it was like, hey, I'm still here. I'm running my business and I have 2, 3, 4 kids at home and I have all these added responsibilities. Now I'm their teacher. Now I'm not just their parent. I'm their school teacher. And there's all these things. So people are just dealing with anxiety and pain and suffering. What are you seeing from your perspective? And then what are your thoughts on how people can start to kind of get back to the new norm, or find the new norm, I should say?
Right. I think you're 100% spot on with that. Like what we've been seeing is there are lots of people that are still waiting, and that waiting is bringing a lot of uncertainty. And when you have uncertainty, stress goes up, confidence goes down. When stress goes up and confidence goes down, oftentimes action goes down. And what I believe people need to understand is this is life. This is life. Don't wait for life to go back to the same way it was. It will never be the same way. This is a new reality. Will we be able to go outside again and play with people and go back to work? And yes, we will. That being said, the world will be a different place. It will be a different place. And if you wait until then to come back to what you think was how it was in the past, you're going to have missed everything that has happened now because you're still waiting for the past.
Great point.
That becomes an issue when we're talking about your health. right? Because you asked me specifically, okay, well, what are you seeing in the health space? Well, mental health is being affected significantly. Mm-hmm. And that also affects your physical health, which affects your energy. Let me ask you a question. When you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling like playing this tug of war of not knowing where you are, do you feel energized? Do you feel more drained?
Yeah, you feel more drained.
Yeah, most people feel more drained and they haven't gone anywhere. That's the worst part, right? Because if you say to me, oh, you know, I've been working hard towards something and I'm tired, you're like, yeah, I know why. But a lot of times people get through the day and I'm like, I'm exhausted and I haven't done anything. Or it doesn't seem like I've moved from here. I feel like I'm in the same place where I started physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
And that now starts, you start playing those mental games. If we can reframe where we are right now by getting more clarity about, first of all, who we're going to choose to be during this time of uncertainty. This is an important part because if you don't make that choice, the choice will be made for you. And where, if you consider, where do you feel like you're going to have more, where do you feel like you're going to be more empowered? When you make a choice or when someone makes a choice for you?
When you make a choice.
Right. And I think that that's, you know, this is your opportunity to make that choice as opposed to abdicate that responsibility to time. Because time is going to continue passing. And as time passes, you're going to be left behind a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And that anxiety that you're feeling about that uncertainty of the future, once you get back to the future, you're going to feel like that anxiety because you're going to be trying to catch up now. So don't wait for that. This is the new reality. Let's start creating in that direction. What's the kind of energy that you want? What's the kind of health that you want? And start implementing the habits today. The other thing, I mean, we're talking a little bit right now and it sounds like everything is negative, but I've actually seen something really impressive, which is people are noticing how much time I'm going to use the word wasting, but obviously it's not wasting because you have to get from one place to the other, but commuting, now that people don't have to commute, they're actually have more time and they're doing something. I've noticed people being more active because they're walking outside more, they're running, they're trying to be, like I see it in my block. There's so many people out here I've never seen and I've been living here for 13 years.
Yeah.
And they're just on bikes, they're going out for walks, families, like together. And I think it's a beautiful thing. This is an opportunity to really enjoy the people that matter most, to celebrate them and to spend the time that you can virtually or in person with those people that matter most. And if you start doing that, you're going to start setting a foundation to build from. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And Hoang, I want to kind of ask you the same question. So get ready on that end. But there's a lot to unpack there. And, you know, it boggles me how there's people that I see on social media talking about how much extra time they have. And then obviously you have people out there that are, you know, binging on Netflix or just doing whatever they're doing. This is such a great opportunity to either hit the reset button and kind of the direction you want to take your life and or business. It's a great time to work on your business. It's a great time to work on yourself. It's always a good time to work on yourself, but like to develop the certain skills that you've always been putting off or you've had excuses. So having said that, guys, I should have mentioned this at the beginning. We want to make this fun and interactive. So if you have any questions, use the comments in the chat box. Start typing in some questions because at some point we'd like to kind of seed some of these questions throughout this talk. And then at the end, we want to open it up for any questions you guys have about health, about wealth, about your time, about family, about business. I mean, we can make this all encompassing. So Hoang, what are you seeing with the different businesses you're working with as far as how people are having to kind of, again, find themselves through navigate throughout this new reality?
It's very interesting what Armando was saying, because there's a few things that really caught my attention. First one was the 2,000% increase in the suicide hotlines in the U.S. And that's a lot. The other one was the fact that dogs are no longer available in any of the shelters, you know, is it because people need the companion. And I think Dade County was one of the ones that got that has one of the biggest statistics on that, on just people just emptying out the shelters. And it's because of that need to connect, that need to have something to connect to. As far as the business, what I have seen in, there's two sides, right? One is that confusion of business owners that really don't know what to do. They're very confused. They're still spinning their wheels, trying to figure out how are they going to make that same business that's not working now, that was working, you know, 2 months ago. How is it that they get it going again? And then there's the other, is that from day one, they said, we need to start engaging and finding out what are the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing the difference. The first ones, they're all full of anxiety and fears. They know a lot of statistics about how many people are sick in the world, how many people are dying, what's the rate in the whatever ratios that they're using. They have all that information, but they have no clue about their numbers, the numbers that they need to have today, the numbers that they need to be producing. And on the other side, I've been working with companies that come up with opportunities that are amazing, things that are going to be good for not only this period of time, but ongoing, new avenues of revenue that they've created that they never thought of before. But now they got their leadership team, they're meeting with me, and we're having 2-3 hour sessions of just brainstorming to come up with ideas of what to do. How are we going to, I have a company that has 65, 68 employees, and they're all home. And the business owner is keeping these people on the payroll. He doesn't want to let go of anybody. And so we got together and brought in the leadership team, and we said, okay, nobody is getting laid off. How are we going to solve the problem? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to produce their salaries for this period until we get out? How are we going to do that? And the ideas came out that are fantastic. I mean, they have strategies that are going to live long past the crisis, and it's going to help maintain the employees right now. And like that, I can mention a few of the other businesses that have done the same, and they've created new plans, new projects, new things right in the midst of this. They're saying this is the time where we've been planning for, that we've been wanting to do this. This is the time to do it. And they're not even at the office. These are all with home office, that they're doing with all the employees in home office. And they're moving faster. They're moving quicker. You see their energy. You see their, it's funny that you said that you're working more than ever. These are the people that are working more than ever, that are getting up really early, and they're getting a head start in the day, and are producing great results even in the midst of this. So I think there's all this, for me, it's mindset. How are you, today I was making a post and I was relating to it. It was to the fact that we concentrate so much on the illusion that's out there that we forget the truth of who we are. And Armando was talking about that. Who are we going to be during this time? Who are you going to be as an owner or as an entrepreneur? I think this is the biggest opportunity that's been offered to us in the, you know, at least I've gone through quite a few crises, and this has been the best of all the opportunities that have shown up, you know. Yeah. And how are we going to handle it? How are we going to take care of our people and of our families and of ourselves during this period?
Yeah. And you guys bring up such interesting points, and Armando, I'd love to hear your kind of thoughts on what Juan was saying. But you know, I was going back and forth with a friend of mine on Facebook, and you know, he was sharing how his business is struggling and he's having to lay off people. And I asked him a question on Facebook. I said, what's good in this situation and where's the opportunity? And he replied back, and his brain defaulted to thinking about opportunity as far as making more money or acquiring more assets. And what I challenged him with, and I would expect the same from him to me to challenge me, and for you guys for us to challenge each other. That's how we grow, I think, one of the ways we grow. And I said, your brain is defaulting to thinking about opportunities as far as making more money. What about the opportunity to improve yourself? What have you learned from this? Who are you becoming, to Armando's point? Right. So when you guys hear this pandemic, you know, everybody's throwing around opportunity. I'm not so much thinking about opportunity as far as growing the business and making more money, although that will come. You know, we all know that wealth doesn't evaporate. It changes hands. And there's going to be a big wealth transfer here. But I'm not even talking about that. Let's put that to the side for now. I'm thinking about who are you going to become once we get past this? Because this is a season. We will get past this. The question is not, you know, if, but when. So, Mando, what are your thoughts as far as what Hoang had to share, you know, from his standpoint, his perspective here?
I'd like to share a few things because, Hoang said something that I think is important that, you know, us as entrepreneurs, we like doing, we like creating, we like providing value to this world. Some people are, you need to understand what stage of life you're in, mm-hmm. right? Because I think first and foremost, you need to ask yourself, what stage of life am I in? If I'm a 20-year-old, I should be acting very different than if I'm a 40-year-old or a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old. Like, we're in different stages of our life with different responsibilities. So like Alex, you had mentioned earlier, you know, I see it too. People have all this, apparently all this abundant time and they're bored. I don't have that luxury. I don't have that luxury. I have three kids. And like you said, we're trying to figure out this homeschooling thing. Plus, you know, with our own employees, mm-hmm. it was a conversation my wife and I said, it was like, wait, hold on. This is an opportunity for us to create a brand new perspective for them because of the service that they've provided for us. And we know how valuable they are. We value them and what they do for our members. We can't just let them go. What do we have to do? We had to shift and completely change their entire, let's call it job description. And Christian and I were looking back and forth. Okay, well, all right, how can we continue to pay them the same way, even though they're not doing what they used to do? And we came up with a completely different, let's call it point system, so that they knew exactly what their responsibilities were during this time, so that, number one, that they can get paid, and number two, so that they can also help us support our members even that much better. So it's just a matter of making some of those shifts and gaining a little bit more insight as to, wait, who do you want to be? Do you want to be known at the end of this? And it's one of the things I share with some of my clients, some of the business owner clients of mine, that we have this opportunity to really make a line in the sand to say, wait, what are we standing for? I think that's an important point, because as a business owner, you are not just responsible for yourself. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for your family. You're responsible for your employees. You're responsible for your customers and clients. And what you do impacts all of those people.
Absolutely.
And so drawing a line in the sand and saying, this is what, first of all, this is what I believe, and this is what I'm willing to stand for, regardless of whether it's easy or not. There are some businesses right. that are saying, hey, you know what? This is financially the way that we're going to keep more money, right? Keep more money. But they're missing the long term, because if you invest in people, you always win. That's a strong belief of mine. If you invest in people, you mm-hmm. always win. Yeah. Because no matter what, you've made their life better. No matter what, this is something that can grow just like a garden that you're nurturing. And together you can actually create and nourish more people. So I think that the companies that are really completely missing the opportunity to serve others, I think they're missing a huge opportunity. And like to what Alex said, this isn't just about financial. This is about going deeper into the different, you know, I talked about the seven healths. Let me just kind of bring them out because they're relevant. The mm-hmm. seven healths are, there's emotional health, spiritual health, there's physical health, there's relational health, financial health, there is environmental health, and then there's adventure. And each one of those healths contribute to the quality of life and our overall umbrella that we call health. And this is an opportunity to assess, number one, where you are in each one of those. And number two, how can you nourish? How can you create space in your day to provide a little nourishment for each one of those areas?
So how do you, what are some practical steps? Let's kind of like hit the pause button and dive right in there. And Hoang, feel free to jump in. Again, I want to make this interactive. But what are some practical steps for people to start to take inventory and stock of where they're at in those different areas of health?
Habits. First and foremost, habits. Like, look, if you look at each one of those and give yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, say, okay, look, emotionally, where am I at today? From a confidence perspective, from a like, hey, how can I handle things? Am I still holding on to things from the past, right? The things from the past are like an anchor if you're just holding on to them.
Yeah.
And if you're dragging an anchor all the time, it's going to exhaust you and you're not going to get very far.
Definitely.
And by the way, it doesn't have to be that big a thing. A lot of times people think of, you know, a traumatic event, you got in a car accident, you were abused, you know, it doesn't have to be that. If I asked you, Alex, is this a heavy object?
A phone? No.
Or is it there? Phone. No, it's not, right? But if I held this phone like this and I told you, Alex, hold this phone like this for an hour, you know what? Your shoulder
is very heavy.
Your neck is going to be on fire. It's not so much that the item is heavy. It's not so much that it's such a big thing, but it's how long are you holding on to it? And how long you hold on to something starts draining your energy, starts draining your focus. So number one, where are you emotionally? Where are you spiritually? You know, if you practice a religion, are you growing there, right? Because if you're not growing, you're probably being left behind, right? There's some times where you're like, okay, look, this is the bandwidth I have to experiment with this. And am I okay with it at this moment? Great. Let's move on to the next one, right? If you're talking about the physical health, right? If you're in pain, this is a great opportunity for you to now work on what are some little things you can do on a daily basis. Are you hydrating? Are you taking time to breathe? Are you taking time to move? Are you taking this opportunity that you don't have to commute in car, like most people do, and walking around, moving your body a little bit more with that extra time?
Getting some sun. I mean, a lot of people have been locked up for a while.
I'm in the process of writing an article about the dangers of social distancing, because it's become almost, it's being led with fear. And so people are now becoming fearful with even stepping outside, with communicating with other people, because they're social distancing. And it's a horrible term, because what you want is physical distance. What they're saying is, hey, get 6 feet apart. Don't commune with loads of people, but you know, keep some distance, but don't break connection.
Bro, you nailed it. Hoang, I want to get your thoughts here, but I expressed this concern to my wife this weekend. We went to my sister's house and we were all wearing masks because we were celebrating a birthday. And my daughters, Ariana and Alessia, they naturally want to run up to their grandparents, my parents, and hug them and kiss them. And all of a sudden, we jump and we, because my mom's a nurse, so she's still working and she's working with people. And so there's a legitimate concern there, right? Because she's still working and she works with a lot of strangers and all that kind of stuff. But we immediately grabbed our girls and said, no, you can't right now. And I was catching myself in a pattern that we kept doing that. And I told Nat, I'm like, Nat, we have to be very careful here, because
especially
my daughters to think that this is the norm, that they should be fearful or scared to go run up to I don't believe don't go talk to strangers. Like I don't believe in that old school thought. You guys might disagree, because, and this, we're getting off topic, but I'm going to circle us back. Everything you want in life, generally speaking, is going to be from a stranger. So I don't want my girls growing up believing, hey, don't go talk to strangers, or hey, don't go run up and you can't hug your family member, or you know what I mean? It's like, I'm concerned that we're instilling fear in them. And this is 40 days into it. What if we're 2 months into this thing? Right. You know, it's like, what's that balance? I don't have the answer, but I'm much more aware and conscious that, to your point, it's not social distancing what I think we should be practicing. We might want to keep our distance, but be very careful not to be instilling fear in your kids, or maybe even it's being instilled in you and you don't even realize it. So Juan, what are your thoughts here?
I think that's definitely true. The idea of not even going out, I think that Armando mentioned this, is it's not just social distancing, is people are not even going out. They're staying home and they're counting the days that they have not gone out as a triumph. You know, I haven't gone out. You haven't stepped out. You haven't taken a walk. You haven't gotten some sun. You haven't. And I think it's being overdone in that sense where, yeah, we're having more connections. I think something that's happened is that on the other end is very positive, that we have had more connection with our families, you know, through all the technology that we have nowadays and all that. But we're locking ourselves in. We're thinking that the government is doing it, or the, you know, whoever organizations are doing it. But the reality is that we're doing it to ourselves. We're not allowing ourselves to be free to go out and take a walk in the grass. And we went out the other day, Lorena and I went out another day, and we took our shoes and we just walked there's a park right close by here, but you couldn't see anybody. It was completely empty. And this is in a private sector that really, there's not a lot of traffic, but nobody goes out. And I think that's eventually causing, I think I have extended my services, talking about opportunities that with my clients, they're requesting me to speak to their spouses, to some of their employees, to some of the people that are going through a lot of problems. And Lorena and I opened up and says, anybody that needs any help, we're not even charging anymore for the service, but we're providing the service of that, giving them a containment that they need right now, because there's a lot of people that are really scared. There is so much uncertainty that the media is putting out there, that people are feeling it, and they don't know how to respond. They don't know how to handle it. And people all of a sudden will start crying. And I was talking to the wife of one of my clients, and she was telling me, it's just that all of a sudden either I start yelling at the kids or I start crying. I don't know where I'm at, you know? And I think that's something that we've experienced, you know? At the beginning when all this started, I told Lorena, I think I've gotten the virus like three times already, you know, because all of a sudden you start feeling these things and you know, so yeah, I think that there's a reality once again that we have of who we are that we need to get a hold of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to bring up some comments here, circling back, taking a few steps back. Kia Charles, appreciate the comment and the support, Kia. You know, someone said yesterday during their mastermind, the habits that you create now will be those that you carry with you into life after the crisis. Powerful thought for consideration. Completely agree with you. I think that's to your point, Mando. And then kind of fast forwarding to what we were just talking about, Casey, another one of our mastermind members, was said that the lack of eye contact at grocery stores is crazy. It's so true. I go out running every single morning and you see people like up, you're on the path. You see people like jet out like 5 feet out and they don't even like look at you. And and I've actually caught myself a few times kind of doing the same thing without really being conscious of it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I know that you're going through them real quick, but it's speaking to some of this. And I think this is why I'm concerned about this social distancing. And Warren Buffett has a quote that says, "The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken."
Yeah. Say that one again.
The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken.
That's deep.
The reason I bring this up is, and which is why it ties into the social, this idea of the social distancing, and why I'm very cautious with it, and specifically with the kids, is exactly that. If this becomes the new norm where people think that you can't talk or interact or connect with people in a genuine way, where like this, you got to put this shield, I think we're doing ourselves a big disservice. And because they're growing up in this right now, this will feel like it's normal, and it is not normal. This is just a precaution. And that's why when you have kids, it's very important to have these conversations with them to communicate, wait, look, yes, are you going to be on a stranger all hugging up on them and you don't know who they are? What? No, but can you make eye contact? Can you still do something kind for someone? Yeah, like my daughter, I posted it the other day. She got this rock set where you paint the rocks and you make these little designs. And she got this for Christmas. It was for her. She was going to do that. And after she laid out all the rocks and she liked them, she's like, oh, I want to give this one to my brothers. I want to give this one to my mom. And then she started giving them to the neighbors. She wrote a little note and she placed it on the neighbor's like front door. And then she left. She didn't like knock and make a big deal. She just left it there. Mm-hmm. But for her, being able to still serve other people, being able to do something kind was really important. And that made me happy to know that she's not afraid of people, because that's not the message that we're doing here. What we are saying is, what do you control? Well, you know what? Are you getting good sleep? Yes, you can control. That's going to help you. Just like with any flu, just with anything. Are you drinking water? Are you eating healthy foods? Are you taking supplements to help boost your immune system? Are you meditating? Are you moving in such a way so as to energize, excite, and leave you feeling better than before? So these are the things that I think if we let them get out, like let them get out of control, like Warren Buffett said, the chains of these habits will now become so much more difficult to break later on. And I don't want that for my kids or even for our society in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you bring up a point of those habits, especially you said sleep is so important, you know, because we don't, we get out of our routines and then sleep, it doesn't. What's worse is that we've made, like, for instance, the teenagers that are locked up in the room and they don't come out and they spend all day there. And then they find out they can't sleep at night. And it's because they haven't, you know, it's like their system hasn't gotten the idea that it's time for bed because they've been in bed all day, you know. And it's all these habits that we need to be aware of that we need to break. And it's funny because in business, you got to do the same thing. It's like if you get into creating the habit now of not loving your customers, not caring for them, not being able to serve them and continue with the purpose of why you originally created the company, you're missing out. I mean, your customers need to hear from you. They need to be in touch. They need to know that you're there, that you care for them, that you're not only calling them to try to sell them something, that you're calling them to see how they're doing. We did this strategy with one of our companies, and the feedback that we got from the clients was amazing. Was like, you are the first vendor that has called us to find out how we're doing. Wow. I mean, and we think that this is common, that this is something that we should do, but we're not doing it. And once again, it goes back to the habits. If you don't have this habit when you were open and you were working, you're probably not doing it. Now, be great time to start a good habit of following up with your clients and your customers just to see how they're doing, you know?
Right. Yeah. And here's what I'll say to that. By the way, I think you bring up a phenomenal point, Hoang. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be sincere. Oh, it can't absolutely. Be like some, it can't be some marketing tactic or something that, you know, give without the expectation of receiving. And because you're a person and they're a person and you genuinely care. Right. I want to kind of start to take the conversation as far as like, we talked about health, we talked about mental health, physical health, you know, we kind of got into this social distancing conversation, which I think is a valuable conversation to have, because I know there's a lot of people that are having the same types of, you know, conversations. Tia, you know, mentioned about this being the wrong message. I appreciate you sharing your opinion there, Tia. I want to start to talk about wealth now. And I want to start to talk about, you know, there's a lot of people that there's a lot of concern about, let's just be honest, there's a lot of people that are concerned about finances, right? Even people that I know that I consider to be pretty wealthy, pretty well off, I know several people that are still, by most people's standards, you'd look at that person and say they're in pretty good shape, and even their concerns. Now that's not everyone. I don't want to cast a net and just generalize and say there's a lot of people that have been preparing for this and are well positioned, and I think that's phenomenal. I think those are the people that, you know, a lot can learn from. But let's speak to those that are either struggling financially or having some legitimate concerns about, you know, being able to take care of their financial commitments and their obligations. What are some practical things that, and we're speaking directly to those who might be, you know, in a place where they're concerned financially. What's some practical steps or advice that you guys can share? Or maybe it's not even advice. Maybe it's just perspective on how they can start to prepare themselves mentally to attack this and how they can go about the business of like learning from this and then getting in a position where they're not relying check to check or month to month.
Yeah.
I think Armando said something that he did with Christian when they said, you know, what are we going to do with the employees? And it was come up with ideas. I think as human beings, we don't realize the potential we have to innovate. That's a gift. That's a gift from God that we received. And because we don't practice it so much, we don't think we have it. We think we're not creative. We don't think we can come up with ideas. But that's false. That's a lie. We are creative, and we were created that way. We're meant to be creative. So in order to innovate, you got to first accept that you do have it within you. And until you do that, it's going to be very hard to see. Because as soon as you say, I can't, you get into this, in this phase of non-action, where you do absolutely nothing because you can't. Change that phrase to I don't want to, and you'll see how you get challenged. Anytime you come up with I can't phrase, change it to I don't want to. And if you really don't want to, that's fine. You know, it's no problem there. But if you're saying I don't want to, and it doesn't sound like that's what it is, that's what you want, then you could take action. Now you can come up with ideas. Now you can really produce the results. And I have people, I've had so many conversations about this where they say, yeah, but I'm in this sector of business. Oh, no, because I am in this sector. And everybody comes up with, because they're in this sector, they have an excuse not to be creative, not to innovate, you know? Yeah. And I think that's going to make a huge difference between those that are going to get ahead and those that are not. And as far as practical, one of the things, if you're a business owner and you're struggling through this period of time, it's better to start thinking now of loans that might be available to you right now that are not going to be available a month from now, because now you don't you really need it. You know, it's thinking ahead, thinking how long this is going to go. We really don't know. So take advantage of the position that you're in right now in order to fortify your future. And once again, don't get stuck on the only thing you do is what you do. That's not realistic right now. So you gotta really be creative and find out, how can I serve my clients today? In the midst of all this, how can I serve them? What are their needs today? Their needs are not the same that were, you know, 2-3 months back. They have different needs. Be in touch with them. Find out what their needs are and see how you can provide a service or product to solve that need in today, you know, right now.
Yeah. I think there's something that is kind of the elephant in the room, which is as entrepreneurs, we tend to see we're possibilities people very often. Entrepreneurs tend in general to be more possibilities people, not, you know, moving away from people, always being scared of stuff. In general, there's like, we tend to search for the thing that is, you know, what else is possible? Like, oh, I see this opportunity here. I bring that up because not everyone is that. And if you're lost your job, if your business is going under because your overhead is so high at this point, and you can't keep up with it, there's a real reality that you may not be able to pay all these bills. You may lose stuff. And I think one of the most freeing things is saying, okay, wait, do I still have my health? Do I still have my family? What are the things that matter most that no one can take away from me? Mm-hmm. Focus on those first, and then pay attention to, look, it's very easy from the outside to say, oh, you know, you just got to think about all these possibilities. But if you can't pay for your bills, if you can't, you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you're in a pretty dark place. It's hard to self-actualize. And so this is more like the mindset stuff. And even more importantly, like the brain set stuff that we always work with our clients is, in order to get to that mindset where you're thinking about possibilities, you have to feed the animal brains inside that are going crazy right now. The animal brains, we have three brains. We have a reptilian brain, we have our mammalian brain, and then we have our human brain. Our mindset lives in the human brain. The problem is that when we're in the darkest place, when we're struggling, when we're under threat, we go animal. We go to our more primal state. Our brain shifts and says, what's trying to kill us at the end of the day? What's trying to kill us? Where are we struggling right now that at the end of the day is not going to allow us to get our basic needs? And if you find yourself there, putting yourself in a position so that you're actively starting to seek out ways and opportunities to add value so that you can start getting a paycheck. That's one thing that's really important. Because look, I'm all for living out your passion. I'm all for living out your dreams. But the problem is that when you're in a hole so deep and you're trying to live out that dream, you end up diluting and sacrificing a lot of that dream just to be able to make ends meet. I would rather you, hey, get out of the hole, find whatever it need, whatever you need to do to get out of it so that you have space and clarity to really dive into the thing that you really want to do. So there's nothing wrong with doing some of the things that you may even hate doing right now. Knock those out, give yourself a little bit of space so you can breathe and don't dilute that dream, that passion.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. Both of you guys brought up very, very good points. What was bouncing around in my head listening to you guys speak is, I don't know if this was Zig Ziglar that said it or somebody else, but you get paid in direct proportion to the value that you bring to the marketplace and to the community. And that's something I'm always challenging myself. If I'm not happy with the amount of money I'm making, I simply tell myself, Alex, you're not adding enough value. You're not providing enough value at scale to help more people. And so how do you change that? What can you do? And then it goes back to, like, you know, the quality of your life is the quality of the questions you ask yourself, right? Ask yourself the right question, your brain will find the right answer. Ask yourself a crappy question, it's going to give you a crappy answer. And one serves you, the other one doesn't. One's empowering, the other one's disempowering. So, you know, practical things, you know, when this happened, six, 8 months ago, I started looking at my P&L and looking at our personal expenses and really trimming out, cutting the fat, you know, and saying, hey, here's this subscription service that's $9.99 a month, which doesn't feel, I don't feel it, but, you know, that's $120 a year, right? And I started cutting all that stuff out. When this happened, immediately I looked back at our personal expenses. I cut out the monthly massage. That's nice to have, but right now it's not needed, right? You guys know this. I recently got rid of my car. I wasn't using it. You know, it's between insurance and gas, it's $600 a month, $7,200 a year. Gone. I don't need it. We have a car here. There's Uber. I don't know when I'm going to get a car again. I just don't need it. So be willing to sacrifice in order. Sometimes I feel like you got to take a few steps back to take a bunch of steps forward. You know, it's the analogy of you know, you give two people an axe and you say, hey, go run to that tree. And then who's, you know, you get one guy that starts like just banging at the tree with an axe. And you got the other guy that just takes a little bit of time to sharpen that axe, you know, and he's not started and he appears to be behind, but then he grabs that axe and that tree comes down first because he took the time to sharpen it. It's kind of the same thing. Sometimes I think you got to take a step back. You got to pause, you got to reset. And I think that's where the opportunity comes in to kind of bring this all full circle. I want to start to bring some people on here and ask some questions. By the way, Armando, do you know this guy right here?
I know that character.
So I used to buy my first car was a Mustang 5.0 when I was like, I don't know, 16 years old. So that's why he's saying that. What's up, Havo? Havo also, he brings up a really good point. You need to focus on the things that you can do and not what you can't. 100% focus on the control the controllables, right? Focus on what you can control, not what you can't.
Alex, one thing I want to bring up, and you've mentioned about taking the step back, and one of the things that people fail to see, because oftentimes taking a step back feels like failure for a lot of people, right? But what the power of taking a step back is shift in perspective. If you looked at a cylinder, right? If you looked at it from the side, it looks like a rectangle. If you looked at it directly from the top, it looks like a circle, but it's only when you step all the way around that you realize, wait, no, it's a combination, right? It's a cylinder. It goes all the way around and it lengthens out. And so think about this time, these struggles, more like a dance. Sometimes you take a step forward. Sometimes you take a step back. Sometimes you take a step to the side. They're all valuable because one sets you up for the other. And it's not always about just taking a step forward. Taking a step forward is just called marching. There's nothing beautiful about that. You have something beautiful like a dance because it has that variety and it allows you different perspective. And if we start looking at it like that, you're going to start feeling less overwhelmed with a step back and think about, wait, what am I missing that I can now gain this new perspective?
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
And I think certainty is a good, one of the things that why we're feeling the way that we're feeling is because of a lack of certainty that we need. And like Joe was saying, it's exactly that. It's focus on the right stuff. If you focus on what is certain, you know, that's going to bring us. And I think that goes back to faith, goes back to, you know, knowing that God's there, that he's not moved, that I can count on that all the time. And for me, it's faith. For me, it's God. For me, that's the rock that keeps me certain, that if I feel uncertain at any time, I can look there and I know I can grab on to something that's certain. And if we don't have that, then we'll be splashing around trying to hang on to something because we feel like we're drowning. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that illusion of thinking that there is nothing certain in the world right now. And we hear that expression so much right now. You know, there's so much uncertainty that we feel like there's nothing is certain. And that's not true. There's so much certainty around us that's what we got to grab onto.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, you guys are 1,000% spot on. One thing I want to add here before I start firing some questions here. Chris just brought up a question. I know Tia's been very active in the chat box. So if you guys have questions, please get them in because we're gonna stay here until we answer all your questions. And we want to keep this going. So, you know, I think this is I'm blown away by technology, the fact that we can be on this broadcast, the three of us. And not only are we, you know, live in front of whoever's watching this, but then this is going to, like, people are going to see this in the future. This is an opportunity, regardless of what business you're in. You have a platform. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. What it costs you, what it might cost you is you got to have some faith and some courage. Get out there and share your story. Yeah. You're very unique. There's only one of you. And I think I've said that before in the past, and I certainly didn't make that up. It's just the truth. There's only one of you. God only made one of you. And if you don't believe in God, the universe only made one of you, or whatever it might be. Share your voice. Be yourself. Tell people how you got into business. Tell people what drives you. What are your goals? What inspires you? Communicate your message. And this is an opportunity now that, you know, a lot of people are home. And now more than ever, I think we have the ability to reach people, whether you have an audience or you don't have an audience. If you don't have one, start building one. You know, leverage these free tools and platforms we have to go out there and help people. When you're focused on others, you can't simultaneously focus on your pain. It doesn't mean that it necessarily goes away, the pain and suffering, but I think when you shift the focus from all about you and you place the focus on others, that's when you genuinely, in my opinion, start to add value. At least that's how it's manifested in my life through the podcast, through like these different lives I'm doing. You and I, you know, me and you guys, we connect every single week and you guys pour into me constantly. And sometimes I feel like I'm just coming to the call with challenges. And then there's other times when that's not the case. But I just wanted to add that because I think people are so focused on themselves, and it's selfish in nature, and I get it. I understand why. But I think if you can start to shift your focus on other people, A, you're gonna add more value. B, you're not gonna be concerned so much about everything you got going on. And that doesn't sweep away your financial challenges or anything else you might be dealing with. But things just start to open up. Doors and opportunities start to open up when you have the right intentions, I guess is what I'll say.
Yeah. No, 100%.
All right, guys. Questions here. Casey, I got to pop up here for Casey's got a big one. Mando, you want to read this one? Because I think she's directing it at you.
Yeah. So, question for me: in my experience, a lot of healthcare professionals focus so much of their time and energy on helping others improve their mental and physical health that their own health suffers. What are some tips you have for healthcare professionals to lead by example and make their own health a priority? It's a great question. And healthcare professionals do this. Teachers are another one that are notorious for this. And part of it is very often it's a certain personality that goes into these occupations, right? There are people that are there to give of themselves in general. So what happens is they just pour everything and they forget about themselves. In fact, what you'll find is that's pretty common is in many of healthcare professionals and even teachers, you'll find that they even feel guilty when they start thinking about themselves because they're so programmed to serve other people. And it's a beautiful thing, except that you start running yourself into the ground and now you can't serve anyone.
Right.
And so the question really becomes similar to comedians. Actually, you're 100% right, Havel. So what are some tips you have for healthcare professionals to lead by example and make their own health a priority? I think clarity is first and foremost. You need to gain clarity in that what is it that you actually want for yourself? And if what you really want to do is help people, think about this. If you have a potential of a level 10, but because you've been beating yourself up, you can only operate at a level 6, you're missing an extra 40% that you can actually be helping others. And all it takes is just, you know, 30 minutes every day. It takes a reframing of the way you look at things, whether it's getting enough water, getting some sun, getting some movement going in, right? So it's reframing priorities and stepping back. We talked about the stepping back, looking at the bigger picture. What are you put on this earth to do? And if it is to serve others, which if that's your calling and you're in the healthcare professional, you're in the right place, right? Because that's what you're there to do. Then understand where you play a role in all of this. So again, number one, gaining more clarity about where you play a bigger role in all of this, what you want to achieve, and how you want to actually serve. Number two, creating the space for it. If you want to create a habit, if you want to be successful long-term in anything, you need two main things. You need access and you need the space. And what I mean by that is if you don't create the space, things will always get in the way. There'll be another person to serve. There are so many people in this world that need help. So if you don't serve yourself in the sense of you don't create that time for you, just to take a moment for yourself to regroup, to get stronger, to be that best version of yourself, you won't be able to serve people in the long term. The access is, how do you make it easy? If you're trying to create a habit, like when I learned, I was trying to learn how to, this is an easy one because I'm seeing it right here. I was trying to learn how to play guitar. I still...
Hold on. We gotta hit the pause. You can't say that on this show and not give us a little 10 to 15. Stop. We'll get back to the question.
Bring it up. Look, it's right here. All right.
Man, what do you got, bro? What do you got?
I don't know. I have not. Let's see. This is obviously awesome.
So I like it, man.
Definitely
that was there.
I don't even know why I did it. But anyways, I haven't bought a single that's not true. I bought one guitar, but I have three. Now you say that's kind of ridiculous. The reason I have three is because I want it accessible. I want it accessible to me at all times. So I have one here in the office, I have one right next to the TV, and I have one in my bedroom. And they're on the same house, like literally they're a few feet away. If I have to get up and walk, that's more resistance against doing it. But if I finish, I have a few moments, I feel inspired, I can grab it, or somebody tells me I gotta play in front of how many people are on here, right? I have access to it. I can get it, I can do it. It gives you more ability to stay consistent each and every day. So create access, create space in whatever it is that you want to do. And so again, to go back to Casey's question, you know, number one, gain more of that clarity, what it is, where do you play a role in this pick in the big picture of service, and what does that actually mean? And then also the vision for what is it you want for your life? You know, do you want to get through your life just barely getting by, or do you want to feel vibrant and full of energy? So you got to move and create that reality. And then the second part is create the space and the time to reinforce that plan, that blueprint that you need to put in place to create that bigger vision. And if you can do that, something as simple as picking simple things that you can do. Hey, you know what? Every day I'm going to walk for 10 minutes, no matter what. Maybe it's stretch for 10 minutes every single day. Make it something so simple that even on your worst day, you can still be successful. If you have
smiling, because I coach Casey and Josh. They're awesome, awesome people, and they're rock stars. And I'm smiling because I think they've heard that advice before. So that's really good. Great, great question, Casey. Appreciate you chiming in, Josh. Mando, what do you think? I'm sorry, Hoang, anything to add as far as Casey's question? I think Havel and Tia, before I go to you, literally took the thought out of my head. You can't pour from an empty cup. And then I was actually thinking of the oxygen mask, right? It's why do you hear the flight attendant say, but before the flight takes off, you know, turbulence, whatever, put the oxygen mask on first. Why? Because if you go put it on your child, you might faint, you might fall, and then you can't help anybody. Right. So where do you land on this one?
I think the one of the things that we got to come to terms with, it's because we're selfish. And when we look at it from that perspective, it helps us to realize that we got to take care of ourselves. A lot of time we think because we're caregivers, because we serve other people, because we are in that realm of service, we think we're entitled to beat ourselves up and be sick and, you know, and get to that place where we can't serve anymore. And that's selfish. And it helps to look at it from that perspective, because a lot of us that are in the service arena, we give everything of ourselves. And it's not until we realize that it's being selfish what we're doing, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we won't change. And that's a mindset shift that we need to have, of actually realizing that not because we serve at 100% and kill ourselves, that's what we should be doing. We are being selfish. We're giving ourselves a burning out, and we're not going to have you around, and we need you around. So to not care for yourself, it's not caring for me.
Yeah. There's a love component, by the way. And when we think of service, we always think about somebody else. And I think this is one thing that kind of stands out, is oftentimes it comes as a way of not dealing with our own issues. And you find that very often, that service, it's a great thing to do, but it's also a distraction from dealing with our own issues. And so a lot of that, when you find people that continue to run themselves into the ground without taking that time to heal and regenerate, there is a disconnect, a misalignment with them and how much, with the love for themselves, right? The worthiness that they feel. It's like, I'm not worthy to take that time. And they may not use those words, but they may use the words like, you know, I feel bad if I do that because there's other people, or I don't have time. You know, I just don't have time. I don't have energy to do that. And part of that is manifesting in a misalignment with who they are and who they perceive themselves to be. Right. And when you have that, there's often, you know, one of the ways to cope with that is to just, hey, let me pour myself to someone else, because at the very least, I know I can do that well, and I don't have to think. I don't have to look inside. I can keep pushing it out.
I don't have to deal with my guilt.
Right.
That's 100% right. Guys, this has been awesome. This has been, we do these talks every single Wednesday, right? Yeah. And there's times where they get really, really deep, and you know, we're dealing with some real things, and there's other times where they're a little bit more lighthearted. But I appreciate this conversation. I'm hoping it encourages others to seek community outside of their industry and their space, because sometimes we tend to get so boxed in and you don't know what you don't know. You guys oftentimes share with me things that I'm like, and by the way, I got my 2-year-old Alessia banging on the door here, so she might bust through, and we might have a fourth person on this live, but I'm trying to regain my thoughts. So yeah, sometimes you guys share insight and perspective with me that like I never even thought of. So I'm hoping that part of this live gets you guys thinking in a little bit of a different direction. And so with that said, let me fire some questions here. Tia, appreciate you being so active on the chat. More of a sales question. I'll read this one. And Juan, I'll go to you first, and then Mando, I'll get your thoughts on it. Knowing so many people are struggling financially right now, how do you pursue sales differently during this time?
The way to pursue sales right now is to reach out to your clients, to reach out to the customers, to your potential clients even, and find out what they need. Get away from trying to sell something, a service or a product that you may have, before finding out where your client is at right now. So I think that's the first approach, is get out of that need to sell something and go into the service mode of how can I help my client. You'll find out that your client does need something. And if you are open enough to hear what they have to say and what they need, I think we'll give you a good perspective on what is it that you need to be selling now. It might not even be what you're selling. It could, it might be straight up that you might need to be selling something else, or might need to sell it in a different way, which is another thing. We might try to be presenting the sales in a way that the customer can see it happening. And we need to be creative. This is where innovation and creativity comes in, is we need to be aware of their needs to see how I can deliver that product or service, or if that's not something that's going to happen until the future, what else can I do? The idea is not to shut it right there. Well, I can't do it and that's it. It goes, well, no, keep talking to your client and you'll find that they tell you exactly what is it that they need.
Right.
That's good. Mando, what do you think?
I mean, Juan, I think Juan nailed it. Actually, before I kind of jump in there, I know Tia, she's awesome. This is a woman that is a freaking amazing artist, and she's achieved something which few artists get to do, and which is a unique style. Like if you ever see anything that she draws, you're like, oh, you would instantly recognize it. And I want to honor her for that, because she's doing more of it. She decided she wanted to start doing it and doing it more permanently. And she started tattooing people. So that's been pretty cool. So I just want to honor her for taking that journey.
What you need to do, so I appreciate that, and I'm sure so does Tia, what you need to do is honor her by having her tattoo you.
Yeah.
Yes, but there's another person that lives in this house that does not like tattoos.
I hear you loud and clear.
So as far as sales is, and I think Juan nailed it, you need to figure out what is going on. When we went into all of this, there were a lot of people doing virtual stuff in the fitness space, and they were like, oh, we got to do virtual training, and we had to take and say, okay, wait, let's actually meet with each one of our members. We met with each one of our members, figure out what their needs were, figured out what it is that they most wanted. Did they want a virtual live thing where like they had to show up at a certain time? And what was interesting is that at first they all said, no, I would rather you create a program. We created individual programs for each one of our members, each one of our clients, to help them through that. And then after like two or three, we're already at week 40 days. So probably like after day 21, after about three weeks, some people started expressing, you know what? We've been doing these workouts, but you know what really missed? We missed the camaraderie of having a group dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Would you still be open to doing some of the virtual stuff? We said, yeah, of course. So now we started integrating some virtual and live stuff. I bring that up is because if we didn't ask and we assumed, people like you're giving something, but you can give something to someone, and if it's not something that they want or need, it now becomes clutter. It becomes more mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
And in this time of uncertainty, clutter slows you down. It doesn't allow you to be agile. So you creating a streamlined approach that actually is serving them is really important. So again, to mirror back what Juan said, ask. And once you ask, then start serving in that capacity. And then once you start serving in that capacity, if there's an opportunity for you to serve in a different capacity that requires something for you to sell, great, do that as well. But ask.
Yep. Yeah, and I think the last thing that I'll add as far as that's concerned is sales is a contact sport. That's how I look at it. You know, the more contacts you make, and if you're uncomfortable, even better, because the more you make, you're going to get more comfortable. You're going to get it's having you can't hit a home run or forget hit a home run. You can't even get on base. I grew up playing baseball. Armando knows this. You can't even get on base unless you get to the plate. If you're a bench warmer and you stay on the bench the entire time, which, by the way, don't crack a joke because you know I know nothing about that, Mondo. I know you. I know you were going to fire a joke that wasn't going to be true.
Maybe not baseball, but basketball?
That's a different story. That's a different story. I wasn't blessed with, you know, with height, okay? So I'm 5'7", so yeah, you know?
Cherry picker extraordinaire over there.
I was the cherry picking champ, my man. You know that. I used to get my 5-6 points a game, and they all came in the last like minute of the game. the best. But baseball, you know, I brought it. So we're getting off topic here. But sales is a contact sport. You know, you got to connect with people, and I'm not gonna beat a dead horse. Bring something to the marketplace that is in need. Don't come up with a product or service without knowing that there's a need for it. That's just kind of 101. But yeah, just pick up the phone and back to my point midway through this broadcast. Now's the time to tell your story, right? Tell your story, provide and give without any expectation in return. Of course, you have to know your customer. You have to know the avatar. You have to know your marketplace. I mean, that goes without saying, but it's worth repeating. Once you know the audience, once you know your customer avatar, give, speak, provide value, share, and not everything has to come with a price tag. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're obviously on here. We're not charging anything for this. Like, we're sharing our insight and our perspective, and we're hoping it connects and resonates with people. Do this and do it consistently. The people that I have seen succeed in life and in business are consistent action takers. It doesn't mean they always take the right action, and they fail a hell of a lot more times than they succeed. Anybody here on this panel will tell you that, but they're consistent action takers. So,
Alex, something to be said about this, and I think this is again another perspective shift, which is where do you like knowing how you extract value is really important. Most people's only way of thinking that they've gotten value is if they gotten paid for something. Like, that's the only way that they perceive value. That really made a massive shift for me, because I was struggling with the sales for a long time because I thought the only time it was successful is when I made a sale. And yes, I mean, if you go and never make a sale, at some point your business is not going to be sustainable. But what happens is, if that's your only measure of success, eventually it starts wearing you down. Mm-hmm. But what I started realizing is that I genuinely enjoyed connecting with people. So just the simple conversation of getting to know that person was valuable to me. If there was an opportunity for me to help them right there, that was an opportunity to be of value. If there was an opportunity for me to invite them to work because there was more work that we could do, that was valuable. If there was an opportunity for them to buy something that could help them and they did that, great, that was also valuable. But there's so many different steps along the way where, for myself at least, I saw success and a value proposition that wasn't always tied into the money. And I think if you can start looking at that, you're going to find you have more wins along the way, which create momentum and allows you more space and access to continue doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, appreciate the comment. So true. People first, then money. Havo, I do not appreciate your comment. Look at Havo with the week. So, dude, in high school, Juan, I don't even think you know this. In high school, I played in our high school basketball team, which we were one game away from state championship. So like it was a legit team. Like we were a solid, solid basketball team, which explains why I probably didn't get on the court that often. but I sprained my ankles, each one, three times in the same year. Like, in other words, six sprained ankles in 1 year. Like, that's where the weak ankles comments comes from. Havo also brings up, I think, a really, really good point. You see, he's razzing me, and now I'm giving him credit. You see how that works? When things start getting back to normal, how do you balance what you used to do with all the changes that you have made? And then he follows up, to not be spread too thin.
It's a great question.
Juan, you want to take that one first?
Yeah, I think that's an awesome question. First of all, I think one of the things that's going to help you a lot is to stop thinking that you're going to get out of this at some point. When we do that, we're putting like a limit or a time. And then first it gets us anxious because we don't know when that time is. We don't have a date and a hour. And it's a process. So think of yourself as, what are you doing today that to get through this process? What are you working? How are you, what are the things that you're doing to grow yourself? If you have a business, you're growing your business. What are the things that you're doing to strengthen it and to strengthen yourself as a process, and not just as, okay, we got 30 days and we got to do this. And at 30 days, you know, day 31st, we're out there and everything is open. If we look at it from that perspective, we're going to be pretty frustrated at the end. I think it starts today. To answer your questions is what are you going to do today? It's not what are you going to do when you get out there. Everything that you did today is going to prepare you to during this process. So yeah, that I don't even like saying when we get out of this, because we never know when we get out of these things. It just goes and it just fades, and all of a sudden we're moving and we didn't even realize what happened. There's going to be a time where somebody's going to say, okay, half of the people can go out, the other half can stay in, and things like that are going to start happening. And we're really not going to know for sure when we're out of this. That phrase, as soon as we get out of this, when are we going out of this? There is no date. There is nothing. So don't think of it that way. Think of it as, what do I need to do today to move forward in this process to get stronger, healthier, and have your company being stronger and healthier as well.
Right. What came to mind is, who you used to be is not who you've become during this time.
No.
And that becomes important, because do you want to revert back to the person who you used to be? You've evolved during this time. Now, there's a certain practicality of this, right? Like, I know, obviously, he's my brother, so he's a teacher. So he's been at home with four kids and trying to teach there while balancing all the four kids, which is crazy the way they're doing that, him and his wife, because they're both teachers. So what happens now when you go back? Because at some point, there's a good chance they're going to go back to school. Right. So if they go back Sunday, right. Yeah. Someday. It's not going to be this year.
At least every parent hopes. Right.
Yeah. Right. But there's a practicality to that. If you've been quarantined, there's a practicality that there at some point there will probably be an opportunity for you to go back to seeing people in person. Whether you decide to stay there or not and do it, that's up to you. But that's going to bring in some new challenges, right? Because now you go back to commuting. Now you go back to having all these meetings, which probably weren't that efficient in the first place. But, you know, people don't like change. So the corporations will tend to go back to doing the things the way they used to, even though they started realizing that there's some more efficiency in some of the way they're doing things now. Hopefully the ones that really create more of an impact, they'll see that and they'll continue to move forward in the things that actually work during this time, and then keep the things that used to work better in the past. Right. So how do you do this without becoming overwhelmed and not spread too thin is, number one, start setting certain habits from now that you can still work into your day-to-day life, because they've become that important to you. You've seen the value and the impact that they've had. And perhaps you can't do them exactly the same way. So do you have a plan to pivot from them so that they still maintain and still become part of your life at that moment? And then, but maybe just a little bit less. Maybe you were dedicating, whatever, 2 hours out of your day to go and work out or walk and do it, but maybe you don't have that. Okay, well, let me go back to at least 10 minutes so I don't lose that. So again, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. From a practical perspective is, okay, wait, why was this important during this time? And if I still think it's important and it matters, then I shouldn't let it go when I go back and if the schedule changes back to the way it used to be. What I should do is say, okay, wait, where do I create the space for that so that I can stay consistent because I found out the value and the impact that it had in my life? And if you, again, you go back to the whole create the space and create the access, it doesn't become overwhelming because it is part of your day.
Yeah. The process. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. We all have the choice to let this shape us. The question is, how's it going to shape you? You control that. How are you going to use what's going on? And this isn't meant to be some sort of rah-rah. If you know me, you know that's not where I come from. But we have the choice. And it starts by, you know, kind of putting a fence around your mind and your body, right? And just making sure that you block out all the crap and you focus on what's important. Really, really appreciate you guys. Any questions you have, now's the time to get them in before we start to kind of wind down here. Mondo, let me start with you. How do people connect with you? Who do you typically work with? I know you work with a lot of people that are in physical pain or discomfort, I don't want to, you know, you go ahead and kind of share who you typically work with, who you can help, what are the typical challenges, and then we'll put here on the screen where people can reach out to you.
Yes. So like you mentioned, pain is usually the entry point for a lot of people that work with us. They tend to be, again, people that are tired of suffering with pain. Usually it's a type of chronic pain. They've been dealing with it for a year or more. It doesn't always have to be a year. They've sought out help from other health professionals. They haven't gotten the results, but they want to go back. They don't want to feel prisoner in their body. And if you've ever been in pain, if you ever, like, the words that a lot of our clients end up using is, I feel like a prisoner in my body. I feel like my body is holding me hostage and I can't do the things that I love and the things that I want to do. So, you know, those are the people that we help, I guess, break the bondage, break the chains so that they can go back to doing and being the person that they want and going and doing the things that they want. Very often, it's a gambit of people. What I find is people that really resonate a lot with the process end up being entrepreneurs, end up being coaches, end up being therapists, because they understand that this isn't about exercise. Yeah. If all you want is a series of exercises, there's a lot of places you can get exercise. You get them for free. This is about understanding. Our big thing is helping you have a better relationship with your body. Like if you talk about any relationship, number one thing that's most important is communication. If you don't have communication, you have that breakdown of communication. You actually create more distance between each other. And most people have a lack of communication with what their body and brain needs. And so one of the things that we always say is we help you speak brain to help you eliminate your pain. And if you understand that, then you're, you know, if you speak to someone in a completely different language, they don't understand you. So part of this is learning the language so you can better connect and communicate. And, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, I would definitely say, if you've been suffering from pain, Alex, I know that you put that up there on our website, Cruise Country. I would invite you to go to our website. And on there, we have what we call like a masterclass presentation of the 6 key elements that are causing chronic pain and stopping you from optimizing your health. It's free. Go on there. It's 37 minutes. I highly encourage you to take that time. This is your time to do this so that you get a better understanding of the components and the things to really help serve and help build you up. And again, it's absolutely free. And I invite you, or if you know anyone that's suffering from pain, because it can be very debilitating.
I'm here. I'm all like locked in, and I'm listening to you. And then I'm not even going to put that on the screen.
No, you need to put that up.
I'll deal with him later, and he knows what time it is. So, no, guys. And for anybody listening, I mean, obviously, if you've been watching this for the last hour and a half, you just see the mindset and the value that and the heart that Armando brings to, you know, to this topic and to this industry and to just his clients. And I've known him for years, and I've had the benefit of swinging by and with different aches and pains and different things I've dealt with. And it's helped me tremendously. So really appreciate you, brother. That's a genuine endorsement, really, because I've seen what you've done throughout the years and all the people you've helped, man. You aren't a physical therapist or a personal trainer. You're so much more than that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, appreciate you.
Thank you.
Mr. Huang, last and certainly not least.
You know that it's funny hearing Armando, because people come to me with the same thing, chronic pain. It's just different kind of pain. But usually what entrepreneurs come with me is that they're dealing with the employees and they're just frustrated with all the interruptions they're getting, because they're leading anywhere from 10 to 50 people. And it seems like everybody reports to them and they can't seem to shake them off, you know, on a daily basis. So they usually are overwhelmed. They want to grow the company. They know they have a good product, a good service, and yet they're not able to do it because they don't have enough time. At the end of the day, they go home and they feel frustrated because they didn't do any of the priorities they had. And what I do is I work with them to structure and through systems and that we put in place to make all these things go away. I think one of the biggest advantage, I just had one of my clients say to me, he goes, "This has been amazing. This is the first time that him and his partner were able to be in lockdown. Construction had, and they're in the construction, the electrical company, and they have 18 people still working. And this says, we don't have to be there. This is the first time that we haven't had to be at a job site. And it's because of the systems they put in place now that the company runs on its own." And that's what I help entrepreneurs do, is go from just having a self-employed job within their own company to becoming really what they wanted when they started out the company.
Yep. So. And I had you, Huang, on the podcast not too long ago, and I shared a ringing endorsement. And again, brother, I don't know where I'd be without both of you. And in that particular time in my life, I'm grateful to Armando for giving me his feedback and advice, and also connecting me to you. So thank you, man. I've had a front row seat to watch you work and do what you do, and it's been amazing. It's been an awesome journey, and now I get the benefit of masterminding with you guys every single week for an hour or so.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I do too. For me, it's like I look forward to Wednesday mornings, except when the time hasn't changed and it's like a little 6 in the morning. It's kind of rough, but I really look forward to it. And it's funny, Lorena, I finished the meeting and she's immediately, "Okay, so what did you get out of it?" You know, and we sit and we brainstorm everything that I got out of it so that we can put it into work, you know, make it happen, whatever it is that we got out of it. And it's always like that.
Yeah.
It's every Wednesday I come out, you know, better, with more understanding. And so thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And I think, just kind of final words here, you know, if you've been subscribed to the podcast here for any length of time, or if you've been, you know, watching these lives that I've been doing for the last week and different people I've had on, and you know hopefully it's genuine and sincere that I come from a place of like I genuinely feel and know that I can help people and I can have an impact on people's lives, and one of the ways that we do that is through Ascend, you know, which is it's a community, it's a mastermind, it's a coaching program, and obviously I wouldn't be where I'm at today without coaching, without being coached, without being a part of the right network and the right community. And so, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you see the value in that and you think you can benefit from that, this isn't going to be a long commercial. Just, you know, head over to ascendyoursuccess.com. I'd love the opportunity to connect with you and just see if it's a fit. See where you're at in your life and in your business. This isn't about X's and O's of closing more real estate deals. You know, although that's part of it, that's certainly not at the heart of what we do. So if you have any interest at all, reach out. I encourage you, ascendyoursuccess.com. And definitely want to encourage you guys to reach out to Armando, reach out to Huang. It's evident and obvious just the wisdom and the experience that they bring to the table. So guys, I love you. I appreciate you. And for everybody who is still watching and was a part of this, I genuinely thank you as well for taking the time. There's so many options where we can plug into, you know, to just get our content. And so the fact that you've chosen to be here with us, we I can speak for all of us when I say we don't take that lightly. We're grateful for it. Yeah. And I look forward to doing this again. So I'll kick it over to you guys for any final words before we wrap this live up.
One.
Don't let the illusion of what's going out there take away from who you really are. Don't look away. Keep your focus on yourself and your relationship with God and your creator and what you're all about. That's certainty right there. So don't let the confusion out there deviate or confuse you into thinking otherwise.
Yeah. If I'm going to share anything, is if you want more certainty, create more clarity. Your amount of certainty is directly proportional to the amount of clarity that you have. And that's about anything. So seek out more clarity. Those of you kind of in the real estate space and so forth, I mean, I can't say enough about Alex, and I know that his partner, Steve, they do a phenomenal job. And I get to hear about the growth that, or I've seen, I've gotten to experience the growth that Alex has had from that first conversation of when he told me, "Hey, I started my business," to the man he is today, and you know how he's shifted over the years and evolved and grown and continues to. That's the one thing that you'll know about Alex, is that he doesn't rest on his laurels, not because he wants another car or a bigger house, and those things are fine, but he wants to genuinely evolve as a better person, as a better man, as a better husband, as a better father, and be able to serve his clients. So, you know, he masterminds with us. He has other masterminds. He's constantly seeking opportunities and ways to grow. And so I want to honor you, Alex, for having me. And I encourage you guys, as you're listening to this, that if you're finding yourself that you want to thrive, because one thing is for certain, coaching is like, we've survived as a species for hundreds and thousands of years without coaching. Coaching is not necessary to survive, but coaching is very valuable if you want to thrive. Mm. And so coaching provides speed and provides an environment. I talked about different environments, and one of them is environment. The environment of the people you spend time with, the people that are constantly sharing new perspectives, that is not the fear-based stuff that you're always seeing on TV. That's very valuable. So, you know, I want to endorse Alex and, you know, his Ascend group. And again, thank you for having me.
Same here. It's great to be here with you.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. My friends, let me see, before we wrap this thing up, Chris, thank you guys for your time and value. It's our honor, and we mean that in every way. So thank you for being with us here an hour and 40 minutes into this live. So gentlemen, we will wrap this up. I know we will probably talk before our next call on Wednesday, but either way, I appreciate it. And I have a strong suspicion we're going to run it back, and we're going to do this again in the near future. So
sounds good. I'm game.
All right. Day, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.